fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Books and movies entertain you, offer escape and stretch your horizons, magically transporting you to worlds or even universes unknown. This year may be different from summers past, as many beaches and theaters remain closed, and Hollywood blockbusters have been postponed or altogether scrapped. But there are still plenty of great reads and films worth taking in this season, a time when books and movies will have to do a little bit more than usual to help us get away from it all, when we can't really get away. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shireen Seward. Today, we help you build your summer reading and must-see list with the help of two local experts. From the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, film expert Carrie Elza is here, taking us through her top picks for movies and series for you and your family to enjoy right now. Carrie, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you're here, too. Along with us today is Dan Richter, marketing specialist for the Marathon County Public Library, with his list of the most highly anticipated new releases of the upcoming summer reading season. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 800-780-9742. Callers, please be patient. Allow time for your call to be answered. You can email us, too, route51@wpr.org. Well, normally right now we'd be talking about beach reads and summer blockbusters. This year is a whole lot different. In some ways, it feels a little strange to be talking about books and movies when obviously there's so much strife in our world today. But literature and film do more than just provide an escape from reality. There's also strong messages and lessons we can learn by looking through the eyes of authors and filmmakers. One name that comes to mind immediately for me is Oliver Stone, famous for his provocative films, talking about Born on the 4th of July, Platoon, JFK. I mean, the list goes on and on. Dan, he has a memoir coming out. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, so that comes out on July 21st. And just reading kind of the synopsis of the memoir, I learned a lot in just the little blurb I read. I didn't realize that he fought in the Vietnam War and was wounded before he his career got off in Hollywood. He drove a cab in New York City and was writing scripts that weren't getting produced. And so he made the jump to L.A. And, yeah, the rest is history. He wrote and directed Scarface and Natural Born Killers and the films you mentioned as well. So his memoir primarily, it sounds like, focuses on Hollywood in the 70s and 80s, the people he worked with and the films that he made. So really, I would say a must read for any cinephiles or fans of those films in particular.
Oh, for sure. And that's stuff I never knew about him. I mean, he must have had a fascinating life and so incredibly creative. I think the book comes out not for a couple of months yet, right?
Yeah, July 21st. So just another month and a half.
Okay. Carrie, you've probably watched all of the Oliver Stone films, I would think. Do you have a favorite?
I've seen quite a few of them. It feels really inappropriate for right now, honestly, but I think that one of the finest is Natural Born Killers. It's one of the films that we point to as being, one of the first real postmodern films, but it's very violent. It's an interesting commentary on violence in America, honestly. But if we want to talk about some other interesting voices that are worth watching and worth paying attention to right now, I have a few. Are we ready for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing that I would like to mention is that Spike Lee, who I'm sure everybody recognizes the name Spike Lee, if you've never seen his classic 1989 film, Do the Right Thing, Now is a great time to watch it. You can rent it streaming many, many places. It's both a beautiful film and an incredibly incisive commentary on violence and race in America. He drew upon real cases, real incidents, the Howard Beach incident, the murder of Eleanor Bumpers. This is a really important movie to watch if you've never seen it. But I also wanted to mention Spike Lee because his first direct Netflix film comes out on June 12th. And it's actually this actually corresponds too with the Oliver Stone work. It's called The Five Bloods, and it's about five Vietnam vets who return back to Vietnam to find the remains of their squad leader. And there's also some buried gold. So it looks like a really, really interesting movie, and I'm very excited for that one.
This is the first I've heard of it, and it looks like it's coming out next week already. So that's going to go on my list for sure.
Yeah, brand new movie from Spike Lee. I mean, this is, I'm sure we'll return to this theme a lot, but this is what's happening all summer is that huge movies are coming out to streaming platforms, and it's really, really pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot different than what we're used to. But so, Dan, what about books? I mean, has there been any change in release dates, or has it pretty much stayed the same for books?
I think so far, for the most part, they've stayed the same. But one thing that I've been hearing about that's interesting is that it's, I think, affecting upcoming books and how writers are approaching the stories that they plan to tell, making the conscious decision to incorporate COVID-19 and other things going on into their story if it's set in modern times, or if they want to kind of alter their timeline and have the story set before or after. So I think what will actually be more interesting is seeing how books are next year and how this influences the stories that are being told at the moment.
Sure. What's at the top of your list for this summer? What's coming out soon?
Well, one of the biggest, probably the biggest book came out just a couple weeks ago. It's the prequel to the Hunger Games series. So this one is called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. It's by Suzanne Collins. And it's young adult, but the Hunger Games trilogy had mass appeal for adults and teens. And so it's been a decade since she ended the original Hunger Games trilogy. And this one takes place about 64 years before the first Hunger Games book. And it's about Coriolanus Snow. He was the kind of tyrannical leader of the world of Panem. And so this kind of shows his origin story. He's just 18 at the time of this book, and he's mentoring and kind of seeing over the 10th Hunger Games. And so he's kind of finding himself at a crossroads. He is uncomfortable by the things that are happening in the Hunger Games, but his family has fallen on hard times, and he wants to make a name for himself. And it seems like the way forward is to kind of capitalize on the Hunger Games and move in that direction. So I think it's, you know, showing someone, a young person, kind of determining how their life will turn out and the steps that they are willing and not willing to take to kind of make it happen.
You know, that was on my list too, and I understand Lionsgate is officially moving forward with this as a film. So,
no surprise.
It would be crazy not to.
They'd be crazy not to, right? Yeah, absolutely. So, great adventure stuff. You know, there are a number of adventure, action, sci-fi films on your list, Carrie. You want to talk about some of those?
Sure. And I was going to say that I stayed up all night to read most of those Hunger Games books. So I am so excited about this one, too.
Me too.
Yes.
And it's not even my kind of book. I mean, that is not something I would normally gravitate toward. And my kids said, you have to read it. And I'm so glad I did.
Oh, they're so gripping. They're so gripping. Well, there's a lot of adventure and action sci-fi out there. I mean, if you're missing summer blockbusters for right now before movies start to open up, and we can talk about the actual new releases that are coming out in a little bit. But I think that if you're missing summer blockbuster season, just watch some from years past. There are plenty out there for you. So I've looked for some of the newer stuff that's coming out to streaming that maybe you haven't quite watched during the pandemic yet. And for instance, Twister is coming out on Netflix this month. If you don't remember Twister, I mean, that was, or if maybe you are too young to have seen Twister in its original run in 1996. Oh, what a fantastic summer movie.
Oh my gosh,
I Am Legend.
Yes. Oh, so good.
I loved Twister. I Am Legend is coming to Hulu. You know, it might be a little tricky to watch an apocalypse movie right now. Or if you're like me, you really want to watch apocalyptic movies right now.
Yeah.
So I Am Legend, starring Will Smith. Oh, just a wonderful, wonderful movie. And that is coming to Hulu. The film Starship Troopers is coming to Netflix as well. That's Paul Verhoeven's commentary on, it's a commentary on war and violence, but it is a sci-fi movie about alien bugs taking over other planets. It's a movie about imperialism. It is it's strangely funny and just a really beautiful visual experience as well. I've got another one that is a little bit of a strange pick too, and that is the film Zardoz from the 1970s. Does anybody know Zardoz?
No, I've not okay. heard of that.
It stars Sean Connery on a kind of alien planet, but it seems like an alien planet, but it's a kind of apocalyptic movie. He spends basically the entire movie in this kind of like red diaper getup. But it's about this group of people who worship this giant stone head called Zardoz. And we find out that everything is not as it seems. That's going to be on Hulu, too. It is a deeply weird movie, and I cannot recommend it highly enough, although gender politics can really...
Nothing makes me want to watch a movie more than hearing that it's a deeply weird movie. I think that's so great. Dan, what's next on your list for the books?
Well, since we're kind of in the movie realm, there is an autobiographical fiction novel coming out at the beginning of July by Jim Carrey, and it's called Memoirs and Misinformation. So it's kind of odd to describe, and it's kind of odd to kind of figure out exactly how much is true and how much is not, but that's the whole point. So Jim Carrey wrote a book about a character named Jim Carrey who bears a lot of similarities to him as a person in real life, as an actor, aging, maybe not as popular as he used to be, seeking out roles. And the thing is that he has used parts of his real life, infused it into the story, and included autobiographical bits, but the reader necessarily doesn't know what is fiction and what is nonfiction. So that should be interesting to read. I mean, Jim Carrey has a weird mind and is a weird person to begin with, so I think it's going to be kind of like a trip to read this.
Well, it sounds great, and a big fan of his movies. You're listening to Carrie Elza and Dan Richter on Route 51, a discussion on the best reads and watches of the summer season. If there's a book or movie you'd like to recommend, we'd like to hear from you. You can do that by emailing us at route51@wpr.org. Be sure to include your first name and city of residence. You can also call us at 800-780-9742. Callers, please be patient. Allow time for your call to be answered. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead. Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Dan Richter of the Marathon County Public Library is with us talking about the most highly anticipated reads of the summer. Carrie Elza is here as well from the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point with her take on the best movies and streaming series available right now. We'd like to hear from you, too. If you have a recommendation or a question for our guests, you can call us at 800-780-9742 or email route51@wpr.org. Let's talk a little bit about kids. I know so many of the usual summer recreation opportunities are not there anymore. So parents with kids at home, I think they're doing all they can to keep those little ones entertained. Dan, are there some books you'd recommend for kids right now?
Yeah, there's a pretty popular book series called Mr. Lemoncello. And so the fifth book in that series is coming out later this summer in August, and it's Mr. Lemoncello and the Titanium Ticket. And it sounds like a very modern, updated kind of take on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It has a similar plot. Mr. Lemoncello is a very eccentric game inventor. He does escape rooms, and he does has different kind of like theme parks that he runs. And in this book, children can kind of win a trip to his warehouse where he's inventing a new game and compete in this competition to kind of beat the game first. And then it sounds like it's going to play off in future books in the series of who might inherit his kind of gaming empire and things like that. So I know a lot of kids here at the library love Mr. Lemoncello, so that's probably going to be high on their list.
One of the books that I noticed, it's called The World Needs More Purple People.
Yes.
Kristen Bell from The Good Place, Veronica Mars, Frozen, along with the creative director Benjamin Hart, they're challenging kids to be purple people. They're bringing families together, bringing the community together, speaking out for what's right. There's really an emphasis on kindness and laughter and just becoming an everyday superhero. That just was released this week, and I thought that was a notable one for kids that I wanted to mention. What's on your family list, Carrie, for films or series to watch?
Well, there are a lot of great movies that are coming out. I think that, like we said, some of these movies that would have been released in theaters are coming to Disney Plus or other streaming platforms instead. One of them is Artemis Fowl, which is a big budget, big release, but instead of coming to theaters, it's coming to Disney Plus on June 12th. And if you've got kids that are a little bit older, I want to make sure that everyone is aware that Disney Plus is releasing Hamilton on July 3rd.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea. Okay.
Original
wow.
cast. So it is going to be a major event on July 3rd. If you have not seen Hamilton, and of course most of us haven't, you can see it on Disney Plus on July 3rd. So those are two of the most kind of exciting things that are happening. But if you've got younger kids too, and you kind of need to give that, you want to put your kids, give your kids something kind of educational and gentle and good, especially younger kids, to watch while you maybe get some work done. I wanted to mention a couple of my favorite recent shows that are gentle problem solving shows for younger kids. One of them is Tumbleleaf on Amazon Prime. It is a stop-motion animated series, and it is just beautiful. It's about Fig the fox and all his friends in the forest. It has wonderful messages, and it is just a really beautiful and gentle and satisfying show. And then also, Shaun the Sheep has a series on Netflix now that is just as charming as the other Aardman movies are. And you know, this is claymation, and it's about a group of sheep in a farm, and you know, they get into scrapes, and it's just really wonderful. So those are two of my big animated picks for younger kids too.
Great, Dan. What other picks do you have for books for kids? I know you had a few on your list.
Yeah, this one is more for tweens, so late elementary, early middle school, and it's called ACT. It's a sequel to a book that came out last year that was pretty well-reviewed and pretty loved by the kind of tween demographic. It was called Click. And this one is about kind of elections and how they work. So the main protagonist, Olive, she is inspired to run for student council president after she hears that school policy will prevent certain students in her class from going on a field trip to the city. So she runs for president, and it kind of explores the power of voting and public policy and how rules are made and the power of elections and that sort of thing. So, but brings it down on a more relatable level for a tween. And it being an election year, I think it's very timely and is a good way to kind of introduce that age group to how important elections and voting are.
I have to say that as I'm looking at the adult books that are available, some of them have very serious themes. I mean, it sounds like that book in particular has a serious theme for young adults. And then, and some of the books that I was looking at this summer that are just coming out or coming out this summer have that kind of feel to it, like a burning. That novel, it's about a Muslim girl from the slums. She is determined to move up in life. And then she's accused of executing a terrorist attack on a train because of this careless comment that she made on Facebook. So a lot of those kinds of serious messages in some of the summer reading. What else is on your list, Dan?
So there is a kind of spin-off book from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series, which, I mean, we cannot have enough copies of because kids love them and they're always being checked out. And there's always a kind of a new wave of kids who are reach the age level to read them. And this one's called Rowley Jefferson's Awesome Friendly Adventure. And so it's a side character, the best friend of the main protagonist from Diary of a Wimpy Kid, who he writes in this book kind of a fantasy fan fiction story that takes place in medieval times. So it's going to have the same humor and writing style as the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books, but have a different take and kind of take kids into kind of a different realm. And that one comes out on August 4th.
Okay. So, Carrie, what else is on your list for kids or family picks? I mean, there are so many, I know.
There are a ton. And, we have Disney Plus at our house, and it really, it's worth what we pay for it, for sure. I mean, for one thing, Schoolhouse Rock, its entire run is coming to Disney this month.
I loved those.
So if you are interested in kind of reintroducing your kids to these, you know, these really important lessons that you learned as a kid, this is a great time for it. Another great show that is on Disney Plus that I, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise to me how good it is the new version of DuckTales. DuckTales was a great show in the 80s, but they've rebooted it. It started in 2017, and the new version of DuckTales is, dare I say it, better than the original. We've been watching that constantly in our house. It's a great show to watch with your kids. It is entertaining. It is chock full of references to other TV shows, to other movies. We watched an episode last night that was about The Prisoner, the show from the 1960s. So it's a really fabulous show. But if you don't have Disney Plus, there's other great stuff too. Netflix's Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts is another really, really good series. And Prime has tons of stuff coming out this month. How to Train Your Dragon, Spy Kids from 1 to 3, Where the Wild Things are all great shows that are coming out, or all great movies that are coming out.
Some of these movies, I have to tell you, when my kids were younger, and now they're grown and gone, but when they were younger, so I feel like I secretly enjoyed the movies that we watched together just as much as they did. Some of those movies just were so satisfying to watch as a family, and there was no eye rolling going on, like, oh, here we go, I got to watch this again, The Bug's Life again, or whatever. But I loved those movies. What are some of your favorites that you think are equally exciting for parents as they are for kids, Carrie?
Oh, there's so many. But, I mean, I'm a terrible person to ask because, I mean, I love all of these things. So, all of these. I mean, I'm making them watch DuckTales, basically. But The Goonies is coming out on HBO.
Oh, The Goonies.
Right, yes. So good, right? I mean, I have such wonderful memories of that. E.T. the Extraterrestrial is coming out on Netflix. If you haven't watched E.T. in a long time, I mean, to be perfectly honest, as a kid, it scarred me. But as an adult, I really love it so much. Another film that I think would be great to watch with your kids that everybody is going to enjoy is West Side Story. West Side Story is coming out on Netflix this month. The music is great. It provides an opportunity for dialogue with your kids, all sorts of stuff. So, I think those are a couple of really good choices that kids and adults will equally enjoy for sure.
Well, thanks for that. Let's shift back to some of the books for adults. I know that there are many on your list, Dan, and I want to make sure that we talk about some of those. You know, you've already talked about a couple. What's next on your list?
Crazy Rich Asians was a hugely popular book trilogy, and now it's going to be, you know, the first movie came out a few years back, and they're making the sequels as well. So the author, Kevin Kwan, is coming out with his first book since he ended that series, and it's called Sex and Vanity, and it comes out on July 14th. And it's very similar in spirit to Crazy Rich Asians. It's about Lucy. She's an American-born Chinese woman, and she falls in love on vacation in Italy with a really charming, enigmatic Chinese businessman. They part ways, but years later, they run into each other again in the city. But she's engaged, so kind of, you know, the kind of rom-com story unfolds. And this one, just like Crazy Rich Asians, really features a lot of jet setting and decadent food and elegant fashion and comedy and kind of a lavish lifestyle. So anyone who loved that movie or those books will, I think, also love Sex and Vanity.
Okay. Did both of you see that classic film same time next year? I know it was a long time ago, an Alan Alda film, where these two people meet and they fall in love, but they're both married. So they have this affair. And then instead of writing it off as a one night stand, they decide to meet at the inn every year for a retreat. Did either one of you see that movie?
I did not.
Okay. Well, there's, it sounds great.
Yeah. There's a book that is based loosely on that movie, and the movie's great, by the way. It sounds a little weird, but it is really it's a really thought-provoking look at the meaning of just those enduring relationships. Mm-hmm. And this is a book by Ellen Hildebrand. It's called 28 Summers, and she's one of those authors that can crank out a book year after year, and they're still good. They're still fresh. This is coming out this summer, and very, very similar to this. It explores the kind of the agony and romance of a one weekend per year affair, and then the dramatic ways it complicates their lives, and the lives of the people they love. So that's coming out this summer, and it is on my must read list. And again, I do recommend same time next year that film if you have a chance to see it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. So what's next on your list, Dan?
So just how summer is for movies is a big time for blockbusters and sequels. It also is for books too. So there's a sequel book coming out to Bird Box, which became a huge phenomenon on Netflix with Sandra Bullock. This book takes place about 12 years after the book and the film end. And it follows Mallory, that was Sandra Bullock's character, and her kids, who are now grown. They're young adults. They still have to live life blindfolded because there's still these creatures that kind of drive you mad and make you see, have hallucinations. But there's hope because another kind of collection of people have been able to allegedly capture and experiment on the creatures, and they might have a solution to the madness that the creatures cause. But she's also worried about her kids because they're kind of being more headstrong and defiant as they're in adulthood now. So anyone who liked Bird Box and wanted to know what happened next should definitely check out. The book is called Mallory.
Oh, that sounds really good. And I did like Bird Box. I thought that it was just one of those movies that really pulled mm-hmm. you in. Mm-hmm. So what else is on your list, Carrie, that you'd like to recommend, some drama that you think people would really enjoy this summer?
Sure. Well, there are a lot of things coming out. If you didn't catch Knives Out the first time around, it is coming out on Prime this month. We just watched it the other day, and it's a movie that you think you have a handle on, but then it turns out you don't have a handle on, and it pulls the rug out from under you. And if you're in the mood for a kind of old-fashioned, good written yarn that's very, very engaging and takes delight in fooling you, it's a great choice. Another movie that if you didn't catch it the first time around, it's really worth watching, is Lady Bird on Netflix. It is, you know, it's a coming of age story. It's a movie about mothers and daughters. It's beautifully acted and beautifully directed. So if you didn't catch Lady Bird the first time around, Netflix has it for you this month.
Oh, that's a fabulous choice. I really mm-hmm. enjoyed that, and just beautifully done. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we've been doing is binge watching series that we've missed before. I mean, we're finally getting near the end of Breaking Bad. I think we're the only people on the planet that didn't watch it the first time, and then we're gonna do Better Call Saul after that. But I mean, mm-hmm. what are some of the series maybe that you might want to binge watch right now that you've got the time on your hands?
So I have three series, or I have a few series on my list that I have not yet watched. So I'll mention those, but I do also want to say that if you haven't watched HBO's The Watchmen, I feel like I might have even recommended it the last time I was on this show. But it's such a great and important show about, I mean, it's fantasy, right? But it's also a show about race in America. And so if you haven't seen Watchmen, I cannot recommend that one enough. But a couple of shows that I'm interested in watching, I'm interested in watching Hollywood on Netflix. Hollywood is this kind of reimagining of the history of Hollywood. If racial relations were different, if tolerance were different in a lot of different ways. So it's a show that I have not watched it yet, but it's super buzzy and everyone loves it, and it's beautiful. I mean, if you just watch the trailer, you see that it is a sumptuously shot show. So that's one that I definitely want to recommend as well. I'll mention one more quick one. It's just a quick, like, eight episodes and done series on Netflix called I Am Not Okay, which is about a young woman's the changes that she starts to go through related to possibly, I don't want to give away too much, but possibly having some kind of power. And it's a beautifully acted show, and it's really well written. So if you're looking for just kind of a quick series that will take you away and that will also make you think, I Am Not Okay is another good one.
Thank you. Dan Richter of the Marathon County Public Library and Carrie Elza from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point are our guests today on Route 51 as we talk about the best reads, movies, and series of the summer. When we return, we'll offer up more recommendations, plus some titles you might have missed over the past year as well. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 800-780-9742. Callers, please be patient and allow time for your call to be answered. You can email questions and comments to Route51@WPR.org. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Carrie Elza of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point and Dan Richter of the Marathon County Public Library are with us as we discuss the best picks in film, TV, and books this summer. We'll take your recommendations and questions, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742, or you can email us to route51@wpr.org. Dan, what are the next few books on your list?
So another one that's kind of tied to the film world is it's a novel by Charlie Kaufman. He's a screenwriter, and this one is called Antkind. And so he's written movies like Being John Malkovich and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, an adaptation, movies that are very meta and very odd and very weird and very cerebral. And so this novel sounds like it's the same. It's about a really underappreciated, kind of down-on-his-luck film critic who just kind of happens upon a stop-motion film that's been 90 years in the making. But the film is destroyed. He's the only one who's seen it. And he tries to recall every detail of the film so he can replicate it and show it to the rest of the world. So he kind of enters his own mind to kind of piece together the film, and he kind of goes a little crazy. So it kind of focuses on a lot of themes that are really prevalent today, like kind of social media and how big of a role it plays in our lives and how we're kind of addicted to likes and follows and kind of people's identities and film and how entertainment kind of reflects our current modern lives. So that comes out on July 7th. I think it should be really, really interesting to read.
It sounds interesting. Matt from Wausau sent us an email saying, I found the first two seasons of Dairy Girls hilarious. The third season was set to come out soon, was postponed because of the pandemic. Apparently, it chronicles the lives of a group of friends living in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, and it is available on Netflix. Carrie, I've got to say, there's enormous interest in series and films that take place in and around the United Kingdom. The Crown, Downton Abbey, Broadchurch, Peaky Blinders, Fleabag. I mean, those are all examples of that. What do you think it is about those British and Irish themes that we find so fascinating here in the U.S.?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, my kids are watching a show called Puffin Rock on Netflix that is voiced by Chris O'Dowd, who has this beautiful Irish accent. So in part, I think that it is us wanting to be a world that's slightly different from the world that we live in, and it's exoticized in a way. I mean, I've heard very good things about Dairy Girls, but you know, we're seeing a culture that's very like our own, but slightly different, and so maybe we can recognize parts of ourselves in it, and maybe there are ways in which we recognize the parts of ourselves we know could be better. That's a tough question. It's huge. Oh, well, but as far as things like The Crown are concerned, we've always have a fascination in this country with the concept of royalty, right? Because, in theory, we don't have it. You know, we have celebrity culture, right? And we're kind of our royalty, but there's this fascination with the royals, with their lives, with the luxury, with this kind of that whole world is again slightly exotic to us and a source of endless fascination, I think.
It is. It just adds a little element to it that wouldn't be there otherwise. I don't know. Maybe it's the accent.
Maybe it's
just the way they talk.
Yeah.
Dan, what's next on your book list?
So there's one that came out a few weeks ago on May 16th, and it's biographical fiction. And it's called Rodham, and it posits the question, what would have happened if Hillary Rodham had never married Bill Clinton? How would her life have been different? Would she still have ascended to the, become a presidential candidate? Would she have won the election? Would her life have maybe gone in a totally different direction from public policy and politics? So this one kind of follows Hillary's life as it really happened up until the point where her and Bill start dating. But in this take, they break up and she goes her own way. It's kind of an kind of alternative reality. The author had written a book similar to this in nature in 2008. It was called American Wife, and it was kind of had the same premise, but it was about Laura Bush. So I think that this one is really interesting because it's about somebody who is still very much a part of current events and, in the news and that sort of thing. So I think it should be kind of definitely an interesting read.
That looked interesting. It is always fascinating to me when you think about what ifs. What if you had made one choice that was different? How would your life turn out? There's actually a book on my list by Gillian McAllister called The Choice, and it divides the narrative into alternative stories. It's kind of the sliding doors style. Mm-hmm. It's a young woman who walks home from a bar at night, and she pushes a threatening man who seems to be following her down a set of stairs in London. So in the first scenario, she resuscitates him and seeks help. But in the other scenario, she leaves the man to die, and she's driven to virtual madness by the weight of her conscience and the burden of concealment. I just think that's fascinating to think about what could have been.
And neither scenario is that ideal, but you kind of have to figure out which path would be, what you would take.
Yeah, exactly. The COVID-19 pandemic really impacted movie releases this summer in such a big way. I mean, normally we'd be talking about big blockbuster movie releases, and then there have been so many that were pushed back or canceled. Disney's Pixar Soul, the 007 mm-hmm. movie, the live-action Mulan, the new Top Gun. Carrie, are there any movie releases still coming this summer that you're really excited about?
You bet. Well, you mentioned Pixar's Soul, and that's not coming out until November, but I am still so excited about that movie. If you haven't checked out the trailer for that movie, you owe it to yourself to at least watch the trailer. It looks like it's going to be amazing. But theaters are going to start opening up again late June, early July is what we're looking at. The first big test of movies post-COVID is going to be Christopher Nolan's Tenet. I'm starring John David Washington, that comes out on July 17th. So this is going to be a spy thriller. It's a time travel movie. It's a Christopher Nolan movie. So it's going to kind of test audiences' willingness to come back into theaters with changes. I mean, there's going to be a few things that happen in theaters. I mean, probably they will open up with about 50% capacity. They'll ask you to wear masks. There will be online ticket purchasing. There might even be temperature checks, but I think that probably a lot of people will be willing to go through these extra safeguards for the sake of their safety, but also for the chance to get out and see some of these really big releases. After Christopher Nolan's Tenet, the next big release that comes out is Mulan on July 24th, and I am very excited for that one. If you've seen the original movie, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, that's on my list as well. I think it looks so good. What else is coming that you think is going to be great to watch?
So one of the other ones that I am just so excited about is Wonder Woman 1984, which is coming out on August 14th. This movie should be huge. The first Wonder Woman that came out was just a wonderful movie. It was actually the first movie that I took my infant daughter to. We had the whole theater to ourselves, and she slept on me the whole time. So I have this really kind of emotional connection to the Wonder Woman movies too. But it looks gorgeous. It is it's a movie that should, in theory, get a huge audience. We also have a Bill and Ted movie coming out on August 21st.
Oh, how fun.
Which should be really exciting. And in keeping related to the Bird Box sequel that we were talking about earlier, A Quiet Place Part 2 comes out on September 4th. So if you saw the original Quiet Place, it's directed by John Krasinski, starring Emily Blunt. The original Quiet Place was just a wrenching movie about this post-apocalyptic landscape where, you couldn't make any noise or else the monsters would get you. And at the end, I don't want to give away the end of that movie, but suffice it to say that there's enough material for a second movie. So we'll see what happens. So it looks as though, basically summer movie season has just been pushed a little bit down the road, and we will still get some of the big blockbusters that we hope for. And then some will come out on streaming too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Our producer just reminded me, we were talking about the alternative reality type of theme. One to binge watch would be The Man in the High Castle. Have either of you seen mm-hmm. that?
No, it's on my list, but
oh
I haven't watched
goodness.
It.
Yeah, it's been on my list. I haven't watched it.
Highly, highly recommend it. It reimagines life had the Allies not won World War II. And it just wrenching and incredible, incredible drama. I could not recommend it more highly. Dan, what else is on your reading list this summer?
So there's a new book by Max Brooks. He wrote the novel World War Z. And this is his first novel, his first full-length novel since then. That was 2006 when that was published. And it's called Devolution, a first-hand account of the Rainier Sasquatch Massacre. So it's almost like a Blair Witch style, kind of how that was found footage. This is kind of found found reporting from a journalist who was researching a mass murder that was allegedly committed by Bigfoot in the Pacific Northwest, but it was covered up by the government and other sources. And so someone comes upon her reporting, and the tale ensues from there. But so it's kind of part survival story, part kind of horror tale, science and government kind of stuff. So that should be pretty gripping. So I think anyone who likes kind of Stephen King or Michael Crichton would probably like Devolution.
Well, that sounds interesting. And I know that, Carrie, you have some horror movies on your list of must-sees as well.
I do. I mean, I think that that summer is a great time to watch some horror movies to kind of get the heat scared out of you. one movie that's getting a little bit of buzz on Amazon Prime, it's a made for Amazon movie. It's called The Vast of Night, which actually takes place in a radio station where, you know, unseen events are happening. It takes place in the 1950s. So that movie looks fantastic. Also, if you are not familiar with the work of Jordan Peele, you know, now is a great time. Summer is a great time to watch horror. And now is a great time to get acquainted with his back catalog, because the second season of his show, The Twilight Zone, is coming out on the CBS streaming platform. So, you know, of course, we had the original Twilight Zone in the 1950s. But this Twilight Zone reimagines, you know, these kind of standalone stories of weirdness in the world and strange occurrences with his specific voice. So, of course, the other films that he's associated with are Get Out, which is one of the finest horror movies made in the past decade, and also Us, which is on Hulu with Cinemax this month. So Twilight Zone, great time to get the chills in the midst of heat. And finally, the Final Destination movies are coming out on HBO this month. And if you watched those when you were way younger, now is a great time to go and revisit the reasons why you refuse to drive behind a car or a truck carrying logs.
Great. Something else to feed into my fear. Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Jordan Peele stuff, because my son Devin is a huge fan, and just the work is just absolutely incredible. You know, I was looking over the list of books that are coming out this summer, and I still have a stack left from earlier this year. I've got to ask you, Dan, do you have a favorite that you've read in the last 6 months? Is there something that maybe has been out there that people have forgotten about or might have missed?
One I really like that came out in March, it's called We Ride Upon Styx, and it's about a group of teenage girls. They're seniors in high school in 1989, and they play field hockey. They live in Massachusetts, not too far from Salem, and they kind of just on a whim kind of do a spell that kind of to give themselves confidence and win a game, because they have had dismal seasons in the past few years. And it kind of starts to work, they think. They're starting to win, and it's really hilarious. You learn a lot about, Salem and the 1600s and the witch trials as well. But I would say it's a mix of Heathers and probably like American Horror Story. It's funny. It's kind of suspenseful. But I really like just the writing style of that. And it's called We Ride Upon Styx.
That sounds really good. One of the books that I just started reading, and I know that there's been a lot of controversy about it, is American Dirt by Jeanine Cummins. Mm-hmm. It was kind of this rip from the headlines approach to telling a migrant story, but it was highly criticized. But I'm curious to see how that all works out. And Joy, our producer, also wanted to mention The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle by Stuart Turton. She really thought that was a fantastic show, book. So one to add to the list. Final thoughts. what's the best documentary to watch right now, Carrie?
Oh, man. Just seek out the work of Ava DuVernay. 13th is on Netflix, you know, it's a documentary on race and mass incarceration. When They See Us is also on Netflix. You know, it's about the 1989 Central Park jogger case. I mean, those are the two I would mention. I also want to mention real quick, Criterion, as of yesterday, has lifted their paywall for titles that focus on African-American experience. So there's a lot, but it includes, you know, the work of Oscar Michaud, Julie Dash, Charles Burnett, Cheryl Dunn. There's a lot worth watching, and for, I don't know for how long, but Criterion has made those titles available for free. So it is worth going to CriterionChannel.com to check out some of those films.
Well, thank you so much for all of these great recommendations. That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Carrie Elza and Dan Richter. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rick is also our on-air producer today. Special music today from Chicago, Bananarama, Love and Spoonful, Don Henley and Ella Fitzgerald, and Louis Armstrong. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll welcome a local judge and prosecutor to discuss the implications of Marcy's Law, an amendment to the state constitution approved by voters earlier this year. Until then, we're heading out of town.